The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. A name emerges for the Rockets. It might be kind of fun. And a whole lot of other stuff. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in, 713-780-7000. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, guests send us messages. There's also Twitter, better way to go. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. We put odds on everything on Wednesday. So,
what are the odds the Astros are about to lose their first series in a while?
93%.
It's not looking good.
At this stage, two outs in the ninth and down by three.
Yeah.
I would say they're going to lose the series. Unless something goofy
happens.
Well,
we should panic because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is. This seems to be 0-2 without Carlos Correa, right?
No, they won last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Yeah. So. One and one without him.
Well,
but
one and one and a half. Yeah. Yeah. Because he was
part of that loss, though.
So yeah. I think you got to give him the loss.
Okay. Okay.
So one and two
then.
Well, no, I mean, give him the loss.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's over.
Well, we got a handshake and Astros fall to the Mariners 4-1. James Paxton was a beast today. And that's one of those dudes when he is on, he's as good as anybody. And he was on today. And he kind of owns the Astros.
Yeah.
I think 21 innings pitched against the Astros this season. One run allowed. That's
above average.
I'm not great at math, but that's a respectable earned run average.
Yeah.
Against a pretty good lineup.
Yeah. Well, against a really good lineup.
So, yeah, that's a nice showing for James Paxton.
So, yeah, Astros lose this afternoon. And if you're just leaving the game and turning on your radio or just getting in your car, be careful out there. There's a lot of local flooding. I ran into some on the way in.
Was it ponding?
It was ponding. Ooh. Definite ponding. Fear the ponding. But Ooh. Just make sure if you see a pond, turn around. Don't drown.
Speaking of Carlos Correa, at least via his Instagram, he had thumb surgery today.
Yeah.
So
they didn't remove the thumb?
It appears he's got the thumb. It's all wrapped up. But he does look, he looks drugged, I'm not going to lie. I don't know if it's the anesthesia or if he's actually taking street drugs, but in the picture, his eyes look glazed over, so I don't know. I don't
maybe
know.
A little of both?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they went
I
in,
guess we could.
They put some Demerol in him, and then he slapped some vodka on top of it.
We could go the safe route and say that it was. It's just the anesthesia, but I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what kind of crazy hospital he's at.
I'm guessing it's one of the good ones.
You think he's okay?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's fine.
Okay.
So 713-780-ESP is your number. And if you want to get in, we'll take some phone calls today. We got a fun show planned. I'm pretty fired up today.
What's going on with you?
You're
wearing a polo, so you must have had some kind of meetings today.
Well, it's just a golf shirt. It's my Space City Vodka golf shirt.
Okay. So you didn't have a meeting today?
I did have meetings today.
I knew it.
Actually,
it's been
all week long, but
when you don't have meetings, you wear t-shirts.
Pretty much, yeah.
When you do have meetings, if they're like I think if it's an in-office meeting, you wear a polo or something like that.
Generally.
If it's a special meeting, you come in with a dress shirt or a sport coat.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them,
although I haven't seen your coat with the elbow pads in a long time.
Well, that's because you make fun of it every time I wear it. So
you keep it in your car.
No,
you wear it to the meeting.
It's still in the closet. I've kind of got. There's one I like better that I usually wear to those meetings.
Okay.
It's just and it doesn't have elbow pads and it's black. So I always prefer black.
All right, all right.
But I'm sure it will make a reappearance. I've got two of them like that that actually have the elbow pads. So one of these days it'll return. But you know, a couple of things going on. The launch of Sports Map looks like it's going to be September 1st. It's going to be a really awesome website. We've been working on that the last few days. I got a lot of talented people involved in it. And it's going to be a great addition to the Gal family. And hopefully September 1st, everything looks pretty good today. You know, it's out of my hands as far as whether or not it'll launch on time. You know how those things go. But it looks really cool. And so I'm very excited about this. I think it's going to help it's going to be great for the sports fans of Houston. It's going to be great for us.
Okay.
So, and I'll tweet this out a little bit later, but I mentioned it a couple times. We got a charity poker tournament coming up a week from Saturday that we're doing out at Whitmire's, speaking of Space City Vodka. And, you know, if you want to play, just go to touchdownclub.org. I will tweet that out later. It's a great cause, and we got Damaris Barbecue, and we got Carbach, and, of course, you can get Whitmire's while you're out there. So, going to be a lot of fun. It's the stuff you're getting is well worth the entry, and it's going to sell out fast. So don't wait till the last minute to try to get on there and get signed up for it. But I will be tweeting that out a little bit later and putting it on Facebook. So get signed up by the end of the week would be my suggestion if you want to play. Going to be a lot of fun. And if you sign up and you want to play at my table, shoot me an email, and I'll do the best I can to get you there. So that's it.
All right.
And ready to rock and roll and do a show. This is kind of my best 3 hours of the day. So I get to come in and have fun.
Yeah. This is not like your real work where you could really take your shirt off if you wanted to.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that.
Don't. But I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, it sounded like an invitation to me.
No, I'm just saying you could if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Because this isn't
take
real.
Take my pants off. I can just sit back and relax.
I've done plenty of shows with no pants.
Yeah. So,
That didn't go over well. That's why we do What Are the Odds Wednesday, because apparently Pants Free Wednesday doesn't work around here for whatever reason.
Well, it's when people walk in, they get freaked out. Well, it's fine in our little circle.
Yeah.
And so the people who work around the building tend to...
They frown on that?
Yeah. It's not necessarily a positive. So, do you see who's putting together a group to buy the Rockets? It's probably my favorite name so far. Or he's trying to get people with money to buy the Rockets.
Right.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Okay. You want to put odds on that?
Less than 5%, but how awesome would it be just to hear the interviews?
Yeah.
Because he could say anything. We wouldn't know what he was talking about, and it would be awesome. I wish we still had that $2 bill clip of his that we used to play all the time when he would – that might have even been before your time. It's going way back where you just couldn't – tell what the hell he was saying. I would love that.
Well, are these all $2 bills?
Yeah.
Now,
Deke, how would you buy the team?
Are these all $2 bills?
Yeah. I only wish... Now, if we really wanted this to happen, I'm not too familiar with African geography, but how close is the Republic of Congo to Nigeria?
I don't know. Don't ask me to do geography.
Because if we could
I can do the state of Texas for you real well.
If somehow Dikembe could link up with one of those Nigerian email scammers.
I think that would work.
He could get enough money
to buy
the Rockets.
If you send me
$10,000,
I'll send you $100,000 after I buy the Rockets.
I'll send you a Rockets t-shirt and $1 billion.
Are these all $2 bills?
But in the very, yeah, and it'll all be in $2 bill. And at the very bottom of the email, where like next to the where you put an asterisk next to the $1 billion, it can really say $0, and then he'll just send you a Rockets T-shirt if you send him $10,000.
Are these all $2 bill?
No, they're not all $2 bill, Dikembe. You can't. It would be crazy to show up to Leslie Alexander's office with just a giant box of $2 bill. It would be, I mean, can you imagine $1.6 billion in $2 bill?
That'd be kind of awesome.
Not today.
I do want him.
That would be, it'd just be great just for, we'd get so many great drops. Because ever since Gary Kubiak left, we don't really get good drops from people in this city. Occasionally somebody will say something. But like Wade would occasionally do the.
I got to be
Kubiak
honest.
Kubiak had a great feel for booty. Mutombo would give us gold every day.
Yeah. And I really think, like, you know, I'm not one to get into other stations' business, but, and I don't know how much control the actual station had versus how much the Rockets had, but if instead of this putting Matt Thomas and Adam Clanton with Craig Ackerman, how great would it have been to have Dikembe Mutombo as the color commentator for awesome. Rockets broadcast?
Not today.
I mean, that would just be gold. I got to be honest.
That would make me listen to their station.
Yeah. Yeah. I would want to know what, like, that. Normally when I tune into the Rockets games on my way home, I have satellite, so I'll just listen
right,
to the national broadcast. Because I don't like to have homerism and things like that. And that it's not just Rockets. I don't like to have it with any broadcast. I like to just hear like sort of a down-the-middle broadcast when I can. But if Dikembe Mutombo were actually calling Rockets games, I would listen to that all the time. And I would play highlights from the game, and I would credit KBME?
Yeah, whatever that
is. I'll credit them every day. I'll be like, hey, guess what the guys over at 790 did? I'd play that clip of him.
That would be the greatest thing ever. I would love to see him on the team.
But Root Sports, I mean, there's an opportunity there on the television side.
Oh, absolutely. And we could partner up with them.
Yeah.
We could do the Dikembe block of the night. Put it right here on the show and then
not today.
Pull whatever he said.
Well, not today because it's not even basketball season, Dikembe, but maybe we could do it tomorrow, and I'll give you a big pile of money. And guess
and pay
what?
You in?
Are these all $2 bills?
Yes, they are. I would pay you all in $2 bill. God, that would be so good.
I got excited when
I saw
that.
And you
know
what? To hell with the Rockets. Let's get all the teams on board. Astros, Texans.
Yeah. Oh, you imagine him with Vandermeer?
You want to make Houston great again? Let's have that. I don't even know if he knows about football. No, I don't know if he even understands the rules, but guess what? I don't care.
It's not like
that broadcast is going to get worse.
I would just love to hear him with Vandermeer, man. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Not today. When they talk about Brock Osweiler's contract, what's Dikembe want to know?
Not today.
No. Wrong one, John Gruen. Yes, now. But it's lost its gold now. All right, let's just move on.
Yeah.
When Jong pushes the wrong button, the joke that could run forever is suddenly over.
Yeah, well, there's only two punchlines, and we just have to get the right one.
And now our advertisers have to pay our bills.
Yeah.
And
these all $2 bills.
Yes, that's how we get back on
and
track.
They're going to pay us exactly that way.
Oh.
All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, going to tell you about Carbach Brewing and everything they've got going on this summer. Coming up next Monday, this coming Monday, you're going to be able to get Nigel in stores, and that is Fun Series 016. It is a barrel-aged barley wine, and we had a sneak preview of it the other day, and it is outstanding. Really recommend you get your hands on that. Very limited release, so your local grocery stores or liquor stores should have some. Get out there and get it early. And if you're not into that heavy of drinking in the middle of the summer, that's all right. They got some lighter fare for you as well. Staycation, always a great standby. Weekend Warrior, which is a nice hoppy alternative. And then Love Street, which has quickly become one of their best sellers because it's really easy drinking and everyone loves it. And, of course, don't forget to join them every Wednesday for the Love Street Blues in the Beer Garden. That is tonight. There's no cover for listening to the tunes. It's all in partnership with the Houston Blues Society. Go out there, listen to some blues, drink some good beer, take a tour of the brewery while you're there. It's going to be a good time. For more info, check out CarbachBrewing.com and pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or tell your bartender, hey, please, make it a Carbach.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. Hope you're staying dry. Somebody says, in downtown by Minute Maid, and I just saw a car honk at an old man with a cane for crossing too slowly. Hashtag Houston traffic.
No bleeps given.
No, and I'll tell you what, man. I still, one of these days, I'm going to get run over by a car down there just because people pay no attention, and they don't give, they give zero bleeps. Last night, I was walking home. We went to watch the game at the Little Woodrow's in Edo and do the crab races and all that stuff, and I'm walking home after the Astros game, and people were just on their phones and stuff, not even looking where they're turning, damn near ran over me twice. And I'm not that slow. I don't have a cane. But
maybe you should get one.
Yeah, well, if I do, now that we can legally carry swords, I want to get one that where you pull it out, it's a sword.
Like on the strain.
Yeah.
Like the old guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I can slash her tires as they go by.
And if you come across some shtagoy, you can always kill them.
Yeah. I mean, that's... And I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Odds my sports media company I just started will be a success. Well, without knowing exactly what you're doing, most startups are failures.
Are you competing with us is the question.
If you are, you have 1% chance of success. In general, I would say you have about a 20% chance of success. 2A1 asks, what are the odds of Rockets sell for under $1 billion?
I would go 0%. I think if under $1 billion is the best offer you can get, you're better off just holding on to it.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think it will be over $1 billion. I don't know that he'll get the 1.6 he's looking for.
Yeah, I think somewhere in between.
Yeah. What are the odds a big name other than Carmelo Anthony comes to the Rockets?
Like who?
Yeah, I don't know who's left. I'd say it's...
The cupboard's sort of drying up.
Yeah. Unless...
Although Carmelo was apparently playing a pickup ball with Kyrie Irving yesterday.
Interesting.
And that's the other place where he said that he would take a trade to. The problem is, really, for both those teams, for the Rockets and the Cavs, they just don't have anything to offer that would make it worthwhile to the Knicks. You know, it's... those teams have basically just given up all future assets to build what they've got currently in place.
And there's just too many issues. The only way the Rockets or the Cavs could make it work by getting rid of Kevin Love.
But that doesn't make your team any better.
Right.
And if they wanted to do that, they could have done it during the season. Yeah. They don't want to do that.
So the Rockets are going to have to get rid of Anderson in order to make it work. And from what I understand, they're having problems finding somebody to take that
contract.
Well,
that's the problem. When Ryan Anderson got signed, most people thought it looked like a good deal on paper. Like, it looked like a good amount, like a reasonably fair contract.
Especially in context of what was being thrown around last year.
But now, 1 year into it, it's like, ooh. Now, all of a sudden, it's like an albatross contract that no one wants to take on. Yeah. And if you're the Knicks, yes, so Ryan Anderson would have to be included to make the money work. But does Ryan Anderson for Carmelo Anthony, does that improve your team at all? I mean, obviously not. And if you're the Knicks, you want to trade for something that is going to you at least want to get something that's going to help you build towards the future. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, but
like you want a draft pick or you want a young prospect, you want something like that.
But he's also got your cojones in a vice because he's got a no trade clause, so he doesn't have to go anywhere.
Right.
And
well, and the Knicks have already said they're not going to buy him out. So, if Carmelo wants to just be unhappy and be a crybaby and let him drive his own value down, that's fine, I would say. I mean, if you're gonna pay Carmelo Anthony and the alternative is giving that money to Ryan Anderson, I would say a salty, pissed off Carmelo Anthony is still probably better than what Ryan Anderson could give you. So,
yeah, but you know how the other part of this equation is, if you're ready to move on from the guy, then You want Kristaps Porzingis out there getting the ball more. You want the offense going through him. And if you...
Then just sit him on the bench.
Yeah, and that may be what winds up happening, but it also just makes more sense to, you know, if the guy wants to be moved, find a way to move him, get something out of it.
If he wants to be moved, he'll stop saying, oh, I'm not going to waive my no trade clause to here or here. Like,
well, but that's the game of chicken they're playing. And the truth is, in the end, I mean, if he wants to go to one of those teams, then... I mean, that's you shouldn't have given him a no trade clause. That's on Phil Jackson.
I'm telling you now, and this is just me. If I were, and maybe I'm spiteful, but if I were an NBA owner or GM, and you said I'll only drop my no trade clause for these two places, but I want out of here, I'd say, okay, well, good news. You get to sit here on the bench. You're going to be our 12th man this year, And you'll be like the last guy off the bench. You'll come in every once in a while for some mop-up duty. You'll make great money. Congratulations. And you'll waste a year of your career. And, you know, if that's what you want to be, fine.
Yeah, how often does that happen in the history of the NBA?
Well, how often do teams just willingly pay a guy's contract off and let him walk away and get nothing in return?
No, that happens quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Not with players that are still capable of playing. That happens with guys that are washed up and done and can't provide you anything. Carmelo Anthony is still a solid NBA player. Is he a player that they want around? Not necessarily, but I don't think they're going to give him away, and I don't think they're going to make their team worse by trading him. I don't think they're looking for that. You have to at least get something reasonable. I mean, and the Cavs and the Rockets have, I mean, no draft picks. They've really got nothing to offer in terms of young talent. Unless the Rockets were willing to throw in like a Clint Capella, maybe then I'd be interested, but I just can't picture them doing that. And here's the other question. Let's say the Cavs are willing to throw in a Tristan Thompson. Is that somebody you're willing to take on? I mean, maybe.
I don't know. His contract's pretty onerous, too, considering.
Right. But, if you're looking to bring in a player and you've got to trade money for money in the NBA, you want to get rid of Carmelo, that's a contract you could bring on. At least he's young, has some upside. I'm sure Cleveland wouldn't mind getting rid of that contract at all. And that's a guy who, obviously, Tristan Thompson's not looking to be, like, the superstar of the team. If that's what he was in, if that's what he was in the ride for, he wouldn't have signed with the Cavs, where he was like the fifth option. But maybe that's a reasonable guy to get back in return for the Knicks. I just don't see that though. Even I don't see how you get fair value for Carmelo at this point.
Well, and that's the thing. And if you've decided to move on, then you're going to have to just take what you can get. And there's just not that much out there. And I know that they've tried to get a third team involved and a fourth team involved, and really the problem is twofold. The Rockets are trying to get rid of Anderson's contract to make room for him, and you have to give up an asset for that. And then theoretically, you'd have to give up an asset to the Knicks, or someone would. Well, where are those assets? I mean, you don't have first round picks, and you know, I think Capella is the only tradable commodity that you probably have
that people would be like, oh, I could use that guy on my team.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess that would...
Or maybe, like, and when I say I could use that guy on my team, like, Ryan Anderson could play for the Knicks, but the Knicks, if they trade Carmelo Anthony, they're looking for players that can help them down the line.
Right.
You know, 2 or 3, 4 years from now. And Ryan Anderson's not that. So they're looking for someone who can help them in the future. That's why draft picks are ideal for them. But both the teams that Carmelo seems to want to go to have already traded away all their draft picks to build what they've got.
Yeah, I mean, if you traded Capella, you still have Nene, but you don't want him playing a whole lot. You want him fresh for the playoffs like you had last year. Now, they did sign Black, and maybe that's a guy that can rotate in there. I don't think you want him playing a ton of minutes. I mean, but...
But the truth is, the Rockets...
The center position doesn't really matter.
The Rockets have basically... I mean, they haven't said this publicly, but with their actions, they've said that depth doesn't mean a lot to them. They want to get this third superstar in here and see where that takes them. And they'll just drop in pieces around those guys. And whether or not that can work.
I think they've made some good depth signings, though. And I don't agree with you on that.
Like who?
Mbamute, they just signed.
You think that's a good signing?
For depth, yeah. You're not asking that guy to come in and play 40 minutes for you.
Okay.
I mean, those are decent depth players. And... You know that you tell me they're not better than Decker and Harrell.
I mean, I don't know that they're significant upgrades. I think they're the same thing.
I think they're better than that. They're veterans who've actually had some success. Decker never did anything.
Yeah,
and Harrell. I mean, those guys are basically D leaguers, man. So I think they've added some good veterans who are better than that for depth. And what else other than Lou Williams, who they only had for half a season? And I've said all along, he's redundant if you've got Gordon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, I don't see depth problems here. I don't see them as having, you know, the best bench in the league or anything. But I don't think they've totally sacrificed depth. I think they've made some good low-budget signings to fill out the roster with guys who replace, frankly, the garbage they gave up in the Clippers trade, other than Beverly. But then when you give up Beverly, you're getting Chris Paul. So I don't think it's done damage to their depth.
Okay, I mean, and they've added guys. They've added PJ Tucker, like you mentioned.
PJ Tucker's another good pickup. I mean, again, you're not asking these guys to be stars. You're asking them to come in and give you some valuable minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
That's what those guys are. And they've all done that in the league. That's the thing. I just don't see that they've sacrificed a ton on the bench. Now,
who would you say is their backcourt depth?
Well, that's
because you've got Chris Paul who gets hurt.
Gordon's your backcourt depth.
Okay, so you've got James. Let's say Chris Paul gets hurt, which he does every year. Now you've got James Harden, Eric Gordon, and who else is getting minutes?
I think that's still up in the air, but they, you know,
that means you've got a depth problem.
I don't know.
You've got an injury-prone starter and one reliable backup guard on your bench. That's a depth problem.
Yeah, I think you're stretching a little bit here.
How's that stretching? You didn't give me a name.
No, but I'm just giving you three front court guys when you're talking about their depth, and now you're going to focus on the backcourt where they have three damn good players.
Okay.
And so you're assuming,
and like I said, yeah, I'm assuming Chris Paul's going to get hurt.
Well, let's look at every team in the league then. If this guy gets hurt, who's their fourth guard?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Does every team in the league have a guy who gets hurt every year? Because Chris Paul gets hurt every year, Fred.
Well, I mean, that's part of what, when you trade for that guy, you know that that's part of the risk. But a lot of guys have.
But I'm sure Tim Quarterman will give you some really legit minutes.
Well, he's supposed to be gone, isn't he?
I don't know.
But I mean, they've got guys that they think Bobby Brown can develop into a decent player. I mean, for a fourth or fifth guard in this case, fourth guard. I mean, yeah. I mean, what do you do? How many teams have a guy who's their fourth guard that you come in and say, oh, he's an NBA All-Star guy?
I'm not asking for an all-star. I'm asking for a guy who can like play NBA minutes.
See, I think most teams you're not going to be worried about your fourth guard getting meaningful minutes, because when that happens, that means something's gone horribly wrong.
Okay.
So I don't think they have a depth problem. I do think now when you trade Clint Capella, then now you can start talking about, well, do they have enough depth in the front court? But I think that's the only guy I look at on this roster and say you could move.
Well, that's the only guy that has real value to another team.
And because he's 23 years old, he's got, you know, he's limited, but
I say that
athletic.
There's one other guy on this team that has value, and that's Eric Gordon.
And see, now I think you are getting into now you are sacrificing some depth if you make that move, because that, for what you just talked about, you got three really good guards. You trade him now that is a concern. To me, at least in the backcourt.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If you have to give up Eric Gordon in a deal to bring in Carmelo Anthony, suddenly your backcourt's in shambles, and you've got a ton of unnecessary depth in the front court.
And that I would, and then I think maybe you have to move one of those guys in the front court for another guard, which, you know, wouldn't surprise me if Daryl Morey pulled that off. But I think Capella's the more, you know, I think he's the more viable option to move.
Just WJ says can't bring in Thompson. He dates Harden's ex. I wasn't talking about bringing Tristan Thompson to the Rockets. I was talking about bringing him to the Knicks. If the Knicks were looking to bring in someone for Carmelo, Tristan Thompson was a name that made sense. And Steve just tweeted Lillard a real possibility. Melo joins Portland, but I feel like just yesterday Melo said,
"Yeah, he's,
I don't want to go to Portland."
He's been very clear that he's not interested in Portland. So, I mean, Portland's interested in him. He's not interested in them. He said he wouldn't rescind his no trade for Portland. All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Cann Academy School, about to get going again, and they're going to need your help. And what Houston Cann Academy does, they're going to have a bunch of new students who dropped out of other schools. They're getting a second chance there. A lot of them dropped out for reasons like they had trouble getting there. They had to get jobs to support their family, and those jobs conflicted with school hours. Well, Houston Cann Academy works around all that. They give them the things that they need to succeed, and they're going to need your help. And a lot of Blitzers have helped, and a lot more. And there's still a lot more to be done, guys. And by your donations, they just want cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs. Pretty much, if it had an engine, doesn't have to be running. Doesn't have to. It can be rusted out. You could have a tractor sitting out there in your field that, you know, just been sitting there forever, and you were going to get it fixed up or give it away. Well, donate it, because here's what they're going to do: they're going to tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, how about this $50 Visa gift card? If you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, make the call today, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226. Join hundreds of Blitzers who have done the same thing. Or you can go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. It is one of the odds Wednesday. I'm still excited about Dikembe Mutombo buying the team.
I wouldn't get your hopes up.
I know. If I were a betting man.
I know when it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen today.
No. No. We know that much. I think if I were a betting man, I would say Yao Ming and some group of hyper-rich Chinese billionaires, like the guys who buy soccer teams and
right.
who bought the KHL team to move to China. Those would be the guys who'd buy it. Not to move
Maybe
to China.
They would
not to move to China. I want to that's the one of the dumbest things I've heard the last few days is, oh, so-and-so would keep the team in Houston. Everybody's going to keep the team in Houston.
Maybe Dikembe Mutombo could get in on the Yao Ming group, right?
Yeah. Although I'm guessing, although Yao's got, I don't know if Yao has more money than Dikembe. I'm guessing he does. I mean, he has enough to own the Shanghai Sharks.
Yeah, Yao has more money than Dikembe, for sure.
But he also, I mean, they don't have that kind of money. Now I'm kind of curious about Yao Ming. I'm curious about the whole net worth thing. I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
But I'm sure he's got access to some of these gigantic billionaires over there who would love to come in with him. But that guy would be the face, though, right? But either one of them would be more the front man for whatever group you bring in. He has a net worth of $120 million, does Yao Ming.
That ain't enough.
No, that's not.
But
not even in the ballpark.
I bet there's some people who'd love to have him on their team, though.
Well, yeah, and he's a pretty damn good ambassador. Dikembe, net worth of $75 million.
Okay.
He earned over $140 million in salary before taxes.
That's pretty good.
I love this whole net worth celebrity net worth page. That's a game changer for me.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And start looking up whether or not guys can actually afford to buy stuff. Beer Man Greg, what are the odds Chris Paul plays in 41 games? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was pretty healthy last year. I mean, I'll play at least 41.
Who's that?
Chris Paul.
Oh. I mean, if you can't play 41, then you're in disaster.
Well, yeah, then it doesn't really matter. Your team probably sucks, and you're blowing a high draft pick.
And he's about, I mean, if you put the limit on what makes most of a season, like if you say, if he plays like 72 games, like he's missing more than 10 games, that's when it's problematic, right?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think
he's like
you can if you miss 10 or 12 games, you play 70 games. That's fine.
I think he's batting about .500 for his career on that. I think that's about his average. Is like like he's half and half on whether he goes over or under 70 games.
It's easy enough to look up, but he's also a year older,
and he's not getting younger.
No, none of us are. I hate to break it to you.
I know, unbelievably.
I wish I was.
You're very close.
Am I close? What is it?
6-5-1. One season he played 70 games. 6 seasons he's played over 70 games, and 5 seasons he's played under.
Oh, I stand corrected. He's a picture of health.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
But the ones he missed, like that he didn't play 70, how many of them were like disasters where he played half the year?
Let's see. Do you call 64 games a disaster?
No, that's not that far off of 70. It's not ideal, but
he's only played one season.
I think you missed 20 or more. That's bad.
He's played one season with only 45 games.
Okay. So that's a bad one. 713-780-ESPN.
So that 70 or more number, what's his number on that since he's been with the Clippers? Like, so his recent past.
The worst season he's had was with New
Pelicans,
Orleans.
Yeah.
Let's see, 60s. So the first season with the Clippers, 60, then 70, 62, 82, 74, 61.
So split down the middle then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you look at it, Patrick Beverley's not the model of health either. And they had, that's what they went into the season. They're, what they're going into this season, the backcourt, is what they had last season before Lou Williams.
Yeah. Well, and Lamont pointed out on Twitter, and he's right, until this season, Eric Gordon couldn't stay healthy. So, but he stayed healthy this season. So, I guess injury track history isn't everything. Chris Paul's a guy who's got enough of a history of missing games that I worry about him staying healthy for a full season.
And that's a fair concern. But that's also the guy you married, so.
Yeah, no doubt.
49 says, Freddie, remember the 80s actress Jamie Gertz? Look up her net worth one day. It will shock you. So I looked up her net worth. It's $2 billion.
What does she do?
She was in Twister. You remember she played the girlfriend in Twister that Bill Paxton dumped for
Helen Hunt? Okay. And what'd she do besides acting then?
Well, it's gotta be something. She married a guy who's worth $2
billion. Okay.
Billionaire Anthony Ressler, who has a net worth of $2
billion. And his company's worth $40
billion. Oh, wow.
What's his deal? What's he doing?
Ares Management, a private equity firm.
Okay.
That he's a co-founder of, which could mean anything. But yeah, that's not really fair that she gets $2 billion of his bucks just for being an actress.
Yeah, I was reading about, somebody was laughing about Chamillionaire having courtside seats at the Warriors game, like clowning on him, like, oh, you haven't had a hit in how many years? But he's like invested in a bunch of tech companies and he's worth like 25 mil. He's doing all right.
Yeah,
better than rappers.
Yeah, I read interviews and he was saying like when he was rapping, he was saying, you know, he wanted to make money. But then he looked around and saw like these billionaires on the Forbes list. And he's like, none of these guys are rappers. You know, it's like Warren yeah. Buffett. It's like all these people that have invested or created something. And he said that's when he stopped rapping and went into investing.
Dr. Dre's on that list.
Yeah,
but it's not from being it's not from music though.
It's no, it's from selling beats.
Yeah, it's from his headphones.
Yeah, that I'm on. I've done three of the four of the Defiant ones. Man, that is one of the better documentaries I've seen in a long time.
Man.
That show.
Like,
is,
if you're into it, you don't have to be into hip hop,
right?
If you're into music, it's an awesome story.
And see, that's what I thought at first. Like, well, it's a hip hop thing, and you know, I've already seen Straight Outta Compton, so okay. But it's not. It's much more than that. And if you're not into hip hop, you'll damn sure appreciate what Dr. Dre's done by the end of this thing.
So. Man, I see this list, 9 celebs who snagged billionaires.
Yeah.
Salma Hayek married into $15.7 billion.
Oh my gosh.
So she married François-Henri Benoit. I guess
Benoit,
he's
yeah. probably.
I don't know. It's P-I-N.
It's a Frenchie.
Yeah, P-I-N-U.
She married a Frenchie.
Yeah, yeah. So it says, having a rich husband is one thing, but having one that owns luxury brands, well, that's a whole new level. Actress Selma Hayek has been named to French billionaire. He's a chairman and owner of Kering. I guess it's a company that sells retail brands of Gucci, Puma, and Brioni.
Brioni?
Yeah, Brioni. B-R-I-O-N-I.
Oh, so, Brioni.
Brioni.
I thought it was the guys who want to sleep with My Little Pony.
No.
Yeah.
So they have one daughter together.
That's
and
a lot of his money for that.
His net worth is $15.7 billion.
Ah.
Okay.
And then number two is Stephanie Seymour and Peter M. Brandt, net worth $2.7 billion.
Wasn't she in the November Rain video?
I don't know.
Is that what she's
famous for? She's a supermodel.
Yeah. Pretty sure that she hooked up with Axel at one time. And she was in that video.
Yeah, and he,
I could be wrong because I'm old.
Who's that? Stephanie Seymour?
Yeah.
That's her. Yeah.
So Peter M. Brandt owns the largest paper manufacturing company in the United States.
I might get out of that business.
Well, maybe. And then Jamie Gertz is came in at number three. $2 billion with Anthony Ressner.
I had a thing for her when she did Crossroads with Ralph Macchio and Steve Vai and one of those obscure movies that only I love.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, well, it's... She played this kind of hot hustler chick.
Elin Nordegan comes in at number four.
Oh, she walked away with a lot of that money.
She's married to Chris Klein, who is worth $1.2 billion.
She keeps running into really, really wealthy dudes.
Yeah, he's considered the coal king of the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's not the one suing John Oliver, is he?
Maybe.
That could be him, yeah.
So... Somebody says, I think Salma Hayek divorced him.
Well, if that's what you do when you marry a billionaire.
You marry a billionaire, you take half his crap.
Unless he's got a prenup, then you don't marry him. You just say, you know what? I don't even want to date you if you're wanting to sign a prenup. No, I don't believe in that.
But what's your son up to? That's the next step.
No, it's, let's see, Robert Murray's the one that is suing John Oliver.
Oh, okay.
He's the Cole Prince of the United States.
Okay. Yeah. Not the king.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Man Centers. And if you've got any kind of male-related issue, whether it be you need a fertility evaluation or you've got some sort of genital pain or sexual dysfunction or a prostate issue, you want to get evaluated for STDs, Man Centers is the place to go. And just with your general male wellness, the prevention is key. You need to get checkups before you actually start to see symptoms of things like genital pain or prostate or urinary issues. You've got a responsibility to be healthy for your family, and prevention is really the key to that. With an easy annual checkup, Man Centers is helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives. And when a couple's not able to conceive, the man is the problem 50% of the time. So if you're having trouble getting your lady pregnant, might not be her problem, might not be her fault. Man Centers can find out the cause of your decreased fertility and increase your chances to conceive naturally, because if you try to go the non-natural route, it's pretty damn pricey. And there's only two medical groups in Houston that focus on male fertility. Man Centers is one of those. They've got a new location open in Pearland. Check them out. Whatever your male-related issue may be, Man Centers can help you out. 832-358-8600 or go to mancenters.com. New location open in Pearland. That's mancenters.com. Helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Friday is Trailer Wheel and Frame Friday. The boys will be broadcasting live from the best trailer dealer in town. Plus, Curtin Trailer Wheel and Frame are giving away a Kurt Gooseneck Hitch with free installation. Trailer Wheel and Frame is conveniently located on 45 North, just after West Canino. Come out, catch the live shows, win great prizes, and enjoy complimentary refreshments from Cat's Coffee, Rudy's Barbecue, and St. Arnold's Brewery. Sorry, I want to shout out here to Michael from Get Me. For my daughter down here, because we're going to hang out and watch movies tonight.
What are you watching?
I think we're going to watch that Passengers that had Chris Pratt and because I've already seen everything that I want to see right now.
What is that,
Passengers? It's like a sci-fi movie where they're on a spaceship. So
I think I know what you're talking about. With
was it awful?
Who's the chick in that?
The Hunger Games chick,
Jennifer Lawrence.
It's the one where like this dude, they're on like a spaceship to some,
and he wakes up early or something.
He's not supposed to, and then he wakes up that chick.
Yeah,
yeah.
Would you do that? Would you wake up a chick?
Probably not. I mean, like the problem is, and I don't want to ruin the movie for you, so I'll just leave it alone. I could tell you why I wouldn't do it, but it would ruin things.
All right, because you could probably get them while they're asleep.
No, I'm not. I'm not Bill Cosby.
I'm just curious. All right. Well, that's a. Yeah. But there's a couple other movies. I'm just going to see what's on demand tonight and find something. But I've watched all the movies that I was interested in that are on.
It says that it's you don't even have to rent that one. It's on like Stars now.
Yeah. That's why I saw it last night, and I'm just thinking something that might be fun to watch with the kid.
Okay. She doesn't want to watch Spider-Man.
Well, we have to go out for that.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to go out. I want to stay home and watch movies.
It's not about what you want to do. It's about what she wants to do.
No, she's a guest in my home, and it's my home. It's not. We're not going out.
Jeez, here we go.
I don't feel like going. I just want to stay in, order some good food, and watch some movies.
Spider-Man is pretty good.
You've seen it now?
Yeah, I watched it this last weekend. It's very good.
Well, we'll probably try to hit it this weekend.
It's probably the best one that came out this year, right?
I think so.
You probably put that and then Guardians.
It's right up there with Guardians. I think they're both really good. I like that kid playing Spider-Man, although it's kind of hard to sell me on that kid being 15 years old. Like, I'm not buying into that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good.
The there's another one coming out this week, and apparently, like, most of these sci-fi movies are completely failing lately. is everybody wants another Star Wars or Star Trek. You know, they want to get the next big thing. There's one coming out that I've heard nothing about and have zero interest in. It's called Valerian. Have you heard anything about this?
I'm telling you.
Trailers everywhere.
Dude, if somebody wants to watch that movie on purpose, I think they're crazy. Like, that's the dumbest looking movie
ever. It just sounds awful. It says they had a $180 million budget. The source material is based on a French comic book, which nobody in the United States knows. And it looks like they're only going to open with like $18.5 million. But they've already written a sequel, but are you kidding me? But a lot of these sci-fi movies, like Tomorrowland, was like $33 million with a $190 million budget. John Carter was probably the biggest one.
Those things always have mega budgets, though. Like, well, it costs a lot of money to make those stupid things. I don't like sci-fi. I
like good sci-fi. Like
what?
The Terminator is good science fiction.
I mean, I guess, but that you're talking, that's like a 1990.
Well, and that's why it's a classic. And there's
Star Wars.
Hey, guess what?
Star Wars isn't that good anymore.
I mean, but it's sci-fi.
Guess what? Guess what else is technically science fiction? Guardians.
Yeah, but that's a comic book movie.
It's also science fiction. Flying around space, man.
But they're superheroes.
Yeah, they're superheroes flying around space.
I'm okay with that. Superheroes good, sci-fi not good.
Okay, so well, there's some classics that you don't like either.
Yeah, I don't like most sci-fi. And I don't like Star Trek. Everybody always tries to tell me how great Star Trek is. No, I think Star Trek's stupid. And then when the new Star Trek movies came out, they said, even if you're not a Trekkie, you're going to love these new Star Trek movies. Nope, you're wrong. These new Star Trek movies suck too.
Yeah, I like the one with Benedict Cumberbatch, but I didn't love it. The rest of them, I couldn't even get through the last one. I got about halfway through it, and like, this just isn't very good.
What else did they remake? That Tron that they remade? Did you like that Tron, Jong?
No, not really.
Stupid. Who likes these movies?
Well, there's a few that have had some success. The Matrix series had some success.
Guess what? I didn't even like that much. Matrix 1? Okay.
Well, but to me, that's like the first Terminator. They never should have made the rest of them, even though those movies were pretty good.
By the way, Matrix 1? Not that easy to understand.
Oh, no. Following the plot is harder to find something.
I don't like that. That's why I like superhero movies, because I like to be talked to like a child through movies. That's why I like horror movies. You know what? There's never a lot of thinking about, what does that really mean? No, the bad guy's just trying to kill people. That's the whole plot of the movie. I like simplicity. I don't need you to... what's the other movie? Inception? Is that the one where the walls start going up?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't like that either. That's a stupid movie, too.
That's sci-fi, too.
Yeah, it's too... What's the whole point of that movie?
The whole point...
You can't tell me.
Is to get back to... I guess it's to get back to the United States? Is that...
Oh, Christ. You can't tell me what that movie's about. That's what
I haven't seen it in 8 years, so it's...
Yeah, I gotta refresh it.
I have to go back and look at it again.
Ask me what Friday the 13th is about.
People...
Okay, go ahead. Ask me.
Freddy Krueger trying to kill people?
Friday the 13th is not about Freddy Krueger.
It's Mike Myers.
No, it's Jason Voorhees.
All the same thing.
It's not the same thing. That's like me saying Star Trek and Star Wars and Valerian are the same thing.
Okay. I have to admit, there's very few that I like, but the good ones are really good. And I was a sci-fi fan growing up, but more books. Like, I read a lot of Asimov and guys like that. But like District 9 that everybody loved. I thought that movie was stupid.
I don't like that either.
I thought that movie was stupid. I agree with you on that one. But I don't mind movies that make me think. I don't need to just be entertained all the time.
I'm trying to think of the worst movie I've seen recently.
Predator, technically.
Predator's okay.
But it's
because it's more like a war movie, like an action movie.
Well, it's part action, it's part horror. I mean, it really is more that than I think it is a sci-fi movie, because it's an alien, but...
Now, Predator versus Alien, that's more sci-fi. Although, that's kind of horror movie, too. And that's more, it's action, it's camp. You know what I mean? Like, sci-fi movies try to take themselves too seriously. That's when I don't like it.
What was that one movie that came out? It was supposed to be like the Alien prequel. I forgot. What was it called?
Oh.
I don't know. There's too many Alien movies.
That one sucked.
I watched Alien...
Prometheus.
That was...
I never watched that.
Disappointing.
Yeah, it was.
I don't like that. All right. It's still, those aren't, and I'm not saying like sci-fi is the worst kind of movie. I don't believe that. It's not the worst. And still, when Star Wars movies come out, my stupid ass is in line just like everybody else, and I watch the Star Wars movie, and then I go, why do people still watch these Star Wars movies? That's me. I watch the movie, and I say, why do people still do this? We're all sheep, because I'm a sheep.
But the sci-fi movies you're really talking about are like the artsy-fartsy sci-fi movies, right?
Okay. Yeah. I don't like any artsy-fartsy movies, hardly. You know what my least favorite movie ever is, I think? And it's got Brad Pitt in it, and normally I like Brad Pitt movies. Have you ever seen the movie Babel?
No.
No.
Babel is the dumbest movie ever. I defy you to watch that movie and come in tomorrow and tell me what it's about. You can't, because it's nonsense. So it's, and that's not sci-fi. It's like a drama sort of. I don't know. It's stupid. I can't even tell you what it's about because I don't know. I just know it's the worst movie ever.
Well, it's easy to screw up sci-fi, but that's basically it. They all want the next Star Wars.
Yeah,
but
you can't get that.
No, it's just like there's a lot of great fantasy out there. Like, I'm a big fantasy fan, but you're not going to go find the next Game of Thrones.
Well, that's what's happening now. What's the what's the movies that Jennifer Lawrence is in? What are all those the big time movies she's in?
The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Everybody wants to make a movie like that now, it's a dystopian war, the world's ending. They made some. My wife was watching one the other day. It's like a knockoff of Hunger Games. It's got,
there's all these Armageddon movies.
Everything's like the world has ended, and now there's only these few people left, and they're fighting against this government, this tyrannical government. Everybody's trying to do that now because Hunger Games was a success. Nobody's original anymore, except me. That's why I'm going to make a movie about apes who want to fight humans.
About humans who want to fight apes.
That too.
Okay.
That'll be the sequel.
Have you seen that yet, by the way?
No, I haven't. Right. I want to see it.
It's getting good reviews.
Is that sci-fi?
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about is sci-fi. Yeah.
Okay, then I like that. I like apes. I like talking apes. I like fighting apes. I like everything about that. Those are the best movies. The old ones are awesome. The new ones are awesome. I don't care who's in it. If it's Marky Mark or Jake Gyllenhaal, I like them. I like apes movies.
That's kind of a combination of sci-fi and your Armageddon movies.
Yeah.
End of the world.
I don't care. As long as there's talking apes.
Okay, I think we figured out what it is you like. It has to have more than one genre, basically. It can be science fiction, but it's got to be like Predator, where
there better be, if it's going to be science fiction, there better be some talking apes.
Okay.
You know why?
Or
you know why, Fred?
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because apes versus humans is a simple thing. If you say, what's Planet of the Apes about? I can break it down for you pretty damn simply. You ask me what Valerian's about, I bet there's nobody on this earth who can tell you. Nobody.
I'm probably passing on that one, just so you know.
Okay, good. You'll watch it on demand, though. Then you'll tell me.
Yeah, I might get halfway through it, too. It's been happening a lot. Some of these movies like that, I'll start watching, and I get about halfway through, and I'm like, nope.
It's got a big blue alien in it?
Well, if it's got a hot blue alien chick.
No, it's not an alien chick. It's a big, fat, blue alien. That's in the preview. Avatar. Did you like Avatar?
Well, all that was Dances with Wolves with blue people.
Yeah.
I'd seen that before.
I don't like that either.
Yeah. And the effects were nice.
Yeah, but I don't need that. I don't need that. All right. I got to tell you about my computer career. If my career as a movie critic doesn't work out, maybe computers are right for me. If you've ever thought about doing it all over again, working with computers, it's not a bad gig. And it's not too late. You don't need a math or a computer background to start an IT career. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career is right for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could be on your way to making some more money and just having a happier life. My Computer Career is where you get trained for the high-demand field of IT. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you'll get everything you need to start your new career. It's more than just a school. My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.